Well, if you've been around more than a week, you know that we've been talking a lot about lately about you know how we've been born to build God's kingdom or to build God's house, and by letting our light shine and being a witness for Christ and speaking out the truth. And one of the things that we need to do if we want to do this effectively is to understand the times that we live in. And we not only have times, but we also have these phases in our life, these different periods in our life that we're going through at any different period. If you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about the story of Esther, and we saw that just as she was born for such a time as she was in for the nation of Israel, that we too have been born for such a time as this. Since we've been born into this time, we need to understand what's going on in our time and in this phase of our life and these times that are around us and, what's going on throughout the world. And we need to get a hold of that so we can make the most of our life and be the most effective that we can be. There was a time in the history of Israel when Saul and his son Jonathan had died, and the nation was divided over who should take the throne. There were pockets of resistance all over the place. There were, there were people that were for David, and then there were people that were for Saul's line. And they still wanted to keep the power, and yet God had been doing something in David, and so people were wondering, should we give the kingship to the line, the family history, the family line where it had been in the normal way of that time, or what should have been the normal way, following down the line of ascension? Or should we look at the one who God has anointed, which would be David? In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it listed the tribes who were committed to following David. And many of these were the mighty men of God that you might remember that followed after him, and they left from these different tribes, different people, and they were all these people that were building this group of people were following more and more, were beginning to follow after David, soon to be King David. And in 1232, in chapter 12, it starts listing the different tribes, and in 1232 it says, as naming one of those tribes, it says, the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. I love that line. The ones who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. The ones who understood the times, they followed David. They got a hold of God's anointing. They got a hold of understanding that anointing. They began to see that, the way things were wasn't the best, and God had something better for them. And they knew it was David's time. They felt it. They knew it. They understood it. And so they followed God as anointed instead of that natural line, because they did understand God's plans. Now, when we say the times, understanding the times, we're not talking just about particular days or weeks or months that are marked on a calendar. The word in the Greek is kairos. And it means a significant time, either brief or extended, a season, an opportune time, and it can mean also not only an opportune time, but an opportunity. The same word means opportunity. It signifies the quality and the content and the character of a certain chain of events, the events during that time period. And throughout history, throughout the history of our world, running right alongside the calendar time, as we follow that calendar time, there are these times. These different times, these kairos, these periods of time, these eras that we call of times. If you remember the Great Depression, you don't maybe remember being there, but you know about it. And everybody says that was extremely difficult time. Those were rough times. Those were hard times that people who went through those times, they learned lessons that never left them. Our grandparents, maybe our parents were involved, were around during those times. Then there was a time we've heard of called the Roaring Twenties, when everybody was just, you know, wild and loose, and there was just this, a party time. Then there's the 1960s. They were rebellious times. In fact, the 1960s, you can almost look back to as the beginning of the tearing down of the morality and the, you know, a lot of the foundations of the decency of our country. Those were really rebellious times. Then there's our youth. We, you know, in our youth, we say those are idealistic times. When we think we can change the world, we think we're going to live forever. You know, we think that, you know, life is just endless possibilities that will go on and on and on, and we're never going to die. And I mean, you know, it's just like, wow, man, you know, it's these idealistic times of youth. And then we get older and things change a little bit. We start to have, you know, an older, more reflective time. We begin to think of our past life. We begin to realize that we're on the downside, that, you know, the times have sort of come and gone to some degree. We still got time left, but we're looking at, you know, how the world has changed. We're looking back, and so we have these reflective times in our life. We can go through good times. We can go through bad times. We can go through exciting times, and we can go through sad times. We can go through painful times, and we can go through blessed times. All kinds of periods or times or, you know, phases of our life. Right now, we live in very uncertain times. If there's anything that stands out in my mind right now, it would be that we live in these terrible times of uncertainty where nobody is quite sure where our things are going. There's just so much, it seems to be so much chaos in the world right now. There seems to be unrest all over the world. In our own country, we've seen a housing meltdown. We've seen bank failures. We've seen huge companies go into bankruptcy that we thought would have never had something like that happen. We've seen foreclosures all over, signs of for sale on houses all over, people we know that have lost homes. Job losses. Our economy has been struggling for some time now. In fact, our economy is so bad that on African television stations, they're starting to show Sponsor an American Child commercials. Our economy is so bad that a picture is now only worth 200 words. So bad, I went to the bank the other day and the teller gave me a note and said, "This is a holdup." Bill Gates had to switch to dial-up. My ATM gave me an IOU. In fact, the highest paying jobs in our town are jury duty. The economy's so bad that the parents in Beverly Hills have considered raising their own children. I saw a polygamist and he only had one wife. The economy is so bad, teenagers are starting to use the sun to get a tan. I heard there were four CEOs out the other day playing miniature golf. Martha Stewart is doing a show on creative uses for food stamps. I bought a toaster oven the other day and the free gift was a bank. It's so bad I got a pre-declined credit card offer in the mail. And they're talking about renaming Wall Street to Walmart Street. The economy is so bad that my sister had an exorcism, but she couldn't afford to pay for it, so they repossessed her. McDonald's has just introduced the quarter ouncer. Yeah, these times are very tough. So it's good to have a little bit of humor during tough times, during tough things. Because I want you to know that God is bigger than all of our problems. He's bigger than anything and everything we face. Galatians 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. That's the beginning of time. Once there was an orderly succession of events, that was time. Ephesians 1:10 talks about when the times will have reached their fulfillment. In fact, it goes on to say our vision there, that's when we bring all things under the lordship of Jesus Christ. John 6:44 talks about the last day. So we see that there is a beginning and there is an end. Time is not going to be forever. God's in control. He's Lord over all the earth. He is sovereign. And He's created time for His own purposes. And He's in charge of all time. Acts 17:26 tells us, from one man, He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Time is God's to do with as He wants. If He wanted to, He could make time run backwards. He could make it go over and over and over again, sort of like Groundhog Day. He could make it run backwards if He wanted. He could do anything. He can cause things to happen at certain times whenever He wants. He owns everything, including time. Luke 2:6 tells us that while Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. It had to happen at a certain time, an appointed time, and it had to happen in a certain place. So they had to be there at that time. In Matthew 26:18, Jesus told His disciples, "My appointed time is near." See, there was a time set aside when Jesus knew He was going to die, and He said, "My appointed time is near. Now go prepare that Passover meal." In Romans 5:6, it tells us that Jesus died for the ungodly at just the right time. There was a specific time in history when God had decided beforehand that He would send His Son into time, and He would have to die then for the ungodly, for us. That event forever changed the character of time. Not only was all history changed at that moment, but the times became different. Now we've entered into, according to the second part of 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says that now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So see, we've entered into the times of God's favor and His salvation. In Acts 2:17, it says, in the last days, God says, "I will pour out My Spirit on all people." So what He's saying now is we're in the last days. And obviously they can go for quite a while. But it's the days of the Holy Spirit, the times of the Holy Spirit being within all God's people. Obviously, God has a hand in the events of the world that we live in. He has a lot of things. He had a lot of things already determined before the world was even created. He already knew the different times, the different seasons. He already knew when different things were going to happen, when His Son was going to come, when He was going to be born, where He was going to be. He knew all these things, when He was going to die. And so He uses time and the times to His advantage. And so He needs for us, His people, to try to understand the times. Jesus blasted the Pharisees for not seeing the signs of the present times. In Luke 12:56, you might remember, He called them hypocrites, and He said, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" It was right there in the Scriptures for them to read that the Messiah was coming, that a Savior was coming. And they ignored the Scriptures and they refused to understand or accept the present time. And they rejected the very Messiah that they had supposedly been waiting for, because this Messiah upset their apple cart. He upset the status quo, and they didn't want to have to deal with that. So He called them hypocrites. Politicians interpret opinion polls to see which way the political winds are blowing. Should I do this? Should we vote for this? Should we go that way, or should we go this way? Speculators are always looking for trends in markets to see where they can put their money, where they can invest to get the biggest return on their money. Meteorologists study weather patterns so they can try to predict tomorrow's weather. They're going to tell us what the weather's going to be like in 100 or 1,000 years, and they can't even get a week away right. Scientists study plants, they study animals, they study chemicals, trying to unlock the secrets of nature. The world is constantly seeking more and more information, trying to understand, trying to find out this or that. And yet, most of them ignore God's truth, the very source of real understanding, the one who holds all understanding in his hands, the one who holds our times in his hands. For those of us who belong to God, this understanding can be ours. God wants to reveal to us, to his people, an understanding of the times. He wants us to be able to understand, to know what's going on, to be aware of what is happening in our world and in our lives. When Jesus approached the city of Jerusalem in Luke 19:41, it says that he wept over it. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." If they had only known, if they had only understood that their Savior was here, but they rejected. And why did this happen? In verse 44, Greg, just a little bit later, Luke 19:44, "Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." He cried over a city. He knew these people were lost. They could have had peace, but instead they had destruction. "Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Man, I don't want to be in that kind of place, where disastrous things happen because I didn't understand the times. I didn't understand what God was doing. I didn't understand my world around me. God wants us to be like the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what to do. One simple line in there, but it speaks so much. So how do we interpret the times? Well, there's no better, more sure way than to gain understanding through the light of God's Word. His Word is eternal. It stands like a lighthouse on the shore, and the waves of time and of human wisdom just keep crashing and crashing against it. But you know what? It still stands. It still stands strong and true, and will continue to stand for all eternity. It always will be there, His Word, because it says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So this word will keep us from those dangerous, rocky thoughts that could destroy us. There's a navigator, somebody who's leading the way, called the Holy Spirit, leads us and guides us to safety, telling us when to turn to the right or to the left, guiding us into all truth, reminding us of the previous instructions, our knowledge of the Word, our obedience to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, is what helps us to understand the times and to use them for God's glory. As we reflect on the Word, as we come to God in prayer, as we meditate on the Word, as we learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, that's how we learn how to understand what's going on. So we need to keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts open to see what is going on around us. We can be that watchman on a wall, the one who blows the trumpet, sounding the alarm when God's truth is crying out to be heard, when His love is desperately needed, when important decisions are being made. Our voice speaking for God needs to speak. It needs to be heard above all the chatter of the world, all the clutter, all the noise out there. Somebody who understands the times and knows what to do needs to speak out. If we can understand the times, then we can use that understanding. And we can see all these different problems that are out there, that are all around us. And we can use them then as opportunities for God's will to be done here on the earth. It's almost like we got this insider newsletter. You know, in investing, they have something called insider trading. You might have heard of that. That's when you're in a company, you're in a business, and you have inside information that nobody else knows. And so you use that inside information to buy a bunch of stock just before it goes up, or to sell all your stock just before it goes down. It's illegal to do that. But that's how people, what people have done, and of course they've made a fortune doing that. It's sort of in a way like that. We have this inside information, this inside wisdom, this inside knowledge that God will give us so that we can help good things to happen. We can promote the truth. We can promote what is right, what is decent, what is good, what is honorable, and help our society, help our friends, help our family, help ourselves to make wise decisions. God doesn't just want us floating through time with no thoughts, no concerns about where we or anyone else are going. Ephesians 5:15 tells us, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Making the most of every opportunity. You know what? That word opportunity there is kairos, the same Greek word again. Making the most of the times because the days are evil, because things are going to go wrong. And we have the ability, every one of us here, we have the ability, because of the Spirit of God that has been given to us as a gift when we receive Christ as our Savior. We have that ability because of the knowledge of God's Word, if we are in fact reading it and understanding it. We have then that ability to bring that light, to bring that truth, to bring that understanding, to bring that word that is like a perfect word brought out at the perfect time. There are periods or phases in our life that are never going to come again. I mean, I'm never going to, have those young college days again. I'm never going to be on those sports teams again, or, get involved in things that were maybe in my youth. You know, the days when I had a bunch of young children and doing things, in that time of life, that's gone. I mean, every one of us have times, phases of our life that will never be repeated. But we have new things that we're involved in now. And do we ever ask ourselves, what is our life for? What is my purpose, especially in this time that I'm in right now? What can God use me for? How can God, give me something to bring into this phase of my life, this time of my life right now? Our days, our times, our life, it's not an accident. We're just not an accident of nature, or something that just happened with no meaning. Our life was designed by God. Our life was meant to bring glory to God and to bring others to Him so that we can enjoy Him forever. Being that light, building the kingdom, becoming more and more like Christ every day. That's the ultimate goal for all of us as believers. Draw closer to God, get to know Him more, become more like Him, and bring along as many as we can with us. That's the all-consuming ultimate goal. That's the overall, the big picture. But there are many, many nearer and more immediate goals, smaller goals, opportunities for us. Our life is not just this one big lesson, this one big thing. There are many smaller portions of our life, like daily life lessons, things that we face every day. And within those days, within those times, within those shorter periods are these opportunities that we need to make the most of. Unfortunately, what happens is there are many of us who make a certain mistake right here and right now in our present life. But what happens is we look at the current minute, we look at the current hour, we look at the current day, or, you know, as something that is just common. And instead of, you know, seeing that time right now, this minute, this hour, as something special, we're always looking ahead to this big event, this great thing that we're going to do in the future. But our life is not just one big event in the future. Our life is not just a series of huge events. Our life is the sum of all these little events, all these minutes that go on day after day, all these hours that go on, these days that go on, these small times, these phases in our life. And every single one of those, all those minutes and hours and days, are all opportunities for us to see what's going on and to hear the voice of God if we have our eyes and our ears and our hearts open. If we can discern those times and see where the Spirit of God is leading us. We don't want to just float like we're in a daze through life. Go on from day to day, never even concerning ourselves with what's happening. I mean, just waste our life. We've only got so many days, so many heartbeats in our life, so many breaths that we can take, and then one day, it's done. It's over. And we have to give an account then of everything that we've ever done, every word spoken. And you know, if we're a Christian, we're getting into heaven. But there still can be loss when we look at what we could have done and we see missed opportunities, just as well as there can be joy when we see all the good that we did do. I think it's going to be one of the most wonderful things that could happen to any one of us is that when we are up in heaven, that someone could come up and greet us and say, you know, it's because of you that I ended up here. Because, you know, one time you shared your life, you talked to so-and-so, and you may not even know it, but I was their child. I was their brother. I was their parent. Or I remember you, you know, because you were the one who came to our class that day, or you were the one who spoke to us, or you were the one who helped me out that time when I was hurting. You were the one who came to the hospital and prayed for me. I would really hate to be the one who found out somebody didn't make it and then know that we did have an opportunity that we missed. We need to take those opportunities, grab hold of them, and use them as a way to serve Christ every time, every day. A way to grow in Christ, to grow in our knowledge of Christ, to grow in our faith, to bring glory to His name. All these things, if we understand what's going on, all those things can happen to us as we put ourselves out there to be that servant for God. We need to see ourselves as someone who, according to Ephesians 2:10, is created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were created for such a time as this time, today. God brought us here to do a work, to do His work in this time. And we ask ourselves, well, what can I do? I'm just me. I'm just, you know, I don't have anything special. Yeah, you do. You have the most special thing that anyone could ever have. You have God. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. And 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So we find that God has given us all we need to do any work that He's called us to do, every work. He's prepared the work ahead of time for us. And now He's telling us, okay, kid, this is your time. Get in there and go for it. Like a trainer, you know, he's telling his fighter and he's saying, you know, you trained hard for this fight. You've been working hard. You've been doing all the work. You've been eating good. You've been running. You've been doing everything. And now this is your chance to win the title. Get there in that ring. Get in there and fight. And don't give up. I don't want to see you give up. I want to see you fight and win. And that's how God's like sort of looking at us, that we can do that. This is our chance. This is our opportunity to make the most of it. This life that we have. These times that we have. Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. There's that word again. Be wise. I was thinking of David. David was a shepherd. He was a giant fighter. He was a harpist. He was a warrior. He was a king. He was a man who went through more times and more seasons than most people, especially those we read about in the Bible. We read all about his life. We saw his ups and his downs. And how does he view his life? He says in Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hands. See, David understood that in every phase of his life, in all the different times of his life, God was there. God had ordained certain things to happen. Sometimes David failed. And the cool thing about David was when he messed up, which he did, and you see that all throughout his life, the good thing about him is that he went right back to God and humbled himself and admitted his failure, admitted his sin, and got right back with God again. And God said that David is the apple of his eye because he was a man after his heart. He loved God. He wanted to do what was right by God. Even though he was human and blew it all the time, he still always went back to the one he loved and tried to get a hold of what God wanted him to do. What do you want me to do? What are the times I'm living in? How can I be obedient to you to fulfill your purpose now, in this time, today? When they went out to all those battles, every time before they went out to a battle, they would pray and seek the Lord to understand, what should we do? How should we fight this battle? What should we do about the ark? How should we, you know, go about dealing with these people? What should I do about becoming a king? How should I fight this giant? How should I deal with these people? Always going before the Lord to understand the times. And you find the most successful people in the Bible, people like Joshua, people like Joseph, people like Moses, different people, they always went back to God. People like Jesus, always praying, always seeking, always trying to understand, to know what to do, the right thing to do. Think of Jesus in the garden. Father, if there is any other way, if there's any other way than me going to this cross where we can do what we need to do here, please show me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. After he was done praying, he understood the time, that there was only one answer to go to that cross. And he tells us that we have to pick up our cross daily. All of our times are in God's hands. Our mountains and our valleys. Pain and our joy. Our good times and our bad. Our successes and our failures. And you know what? Every one of them can be used by God. Doesn't matter what we've gone through. Doesn't matter what we're in the midst of. They're all in God's hands. Our times are in God's hands. And if we understand the times we're going through and we make the most of those things, those opportunities, God will work them out for our good according to his purposes. If we reject them and we reject his plans for our life, it's going to lead to nothing but disaster, to our downfall. Our world right now is filled with people, filled with people who don't have a clue to what life is all about. They really don't. They're just going about their day, going to work, coming home, eating, watching, going to bed, getting up, going to work, coming home, eating, watching TV, going to bed, getting up, going to work, coming home, over and over and over. They don't have a clue what life is about. They can't see what's going on around them. They can't see the battle that is raging for their soul, the battle that is going on between good and evil. They don't know that their eternal life is hanging in the balance. And they certainly don't understand that there is a spiritual battle going on, spiritual warfare going on all around us, that there really is a devil, that there really are angels and demons. It seems like our whole world is in an uproar right now. Every day it seems like something new is just, you know, they had 500,000 people out in the streets in England the other night, and thousands of them were rioting and smashing windows, breaking into banks and department stores and stuff like that. This is happening everywhere. In Wisconsin, they caused millions, $10, $12 million worth of damage to the state capitol. You know, I mean, it's like as soon as something doesn't go the way, see, everybody's gotten so used to the government taking care of them, giving more and more and more all the time, they start now demanding more, and now that the governments are going bankrupt all around the world, that cities and states and governments are going bankrupt, they got to cut back. And people don't want to cut back because it's their right. It's their right for you, to me, to get all this money. You have to take care of me now. You started doing it, now you got to keep doing it. It's not their right. It's not our right. God is our provider, not the state. The state doesn't owe us. Our government doesn't owe us. You know, they don't have to take care of us for the rest of our life. They don't have to provide everything from us from cradle to grave. That's socialism. That's Marxism. That's communism. And you know what happens? The standard of living goes down, 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 down for everybody except those on the top. They get it all. It doesn't work because eventually every government that has tried it goes bankrupt, morally, spiritually, and financially. And finally it turns around and comes back around again. And we're just going through that process. And so there's a lot of turmoil in the world right now. And people need to understand that they can't depend on the government. They can't depend on the status quo always being like it is or like it was. There's only one thing that stays the same forever. That's God. There's only one thing that we can trust without ever having to worry that it won't be there, and that's God. There's only one thing, one person that loves us unconditionally, and that's God. There's only one who died for you so you could go to heaven and spend eternity there. And that's our Lord and Savior. You know the way the world is right now with all the junk going on out there? We don't have to worry about it. We just have to put our trust in God. But we also need to do what we need to do is understand these times and realize that because of this uncertainty, because of this turmoil, people are unsettled. And they're looking, they're hoping to find some hope. They're hoping to find some peace. They're hoping to find answers. They're hoping to find some certainty in their life. And there's any number of topics that we can talk about that can eventually lead to the one ultimate source of all of them, which is Christ. Because He really is the answer. We need to understand that the times of those who are close to us, the times of those who are around us, are uncertain. And we want to be that light. We want to be that answer for them. so many people that are dear to us that are wondering, like, is this even going to be there when it's my turn? What about my kids? What about my grandkids? What about my retirement? What about my home? What about my job? You know, a lot of questions. And if we can somehow get hold of their needs, their fears, their worries, their anxieties, and show them that there is an answer, and we know it, we can be that lighthouse that's standing on the shore, providing a light for people so they can find their way home. If I could have the prayer team come forward, God will give you insight. If you turn to God, if you pray and you ask God, God will give you insight into people's lives. He'll give you insight into the different situations that they're going through. Sometimes you'll get a word of knowledge for someone. You start praying for them, and God's just going to show you something for them. And, I mean, sometimes it's just amazing what God will do through you if you allow Him. You know, it's not going to be too long. It's going to be about maybe a couple months. We have Ed Trout coming back. You know, a lot of the words that he shares are not prophetic, but words of knowledge. Some are prophetic. Oftentimes, they're also words of knowledge. It's God speaking to one of you, to one of us, about the fact that He knows what's going on in our life, and He's in control. Everything's okay. I know a lot of people in here have had a word spoken over them and known that that was God. Absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you knew because it hit your heart. And the same thing that happened through Him to you can happen to somebody else through you. You can be the one who shares that very thing that someone needs. You know, nobody has a lock on sharing God's love or sharing God's truth or sharing a word of hope or peace or love, you know, or mercy, forgiveness. It's not just for that person over there. It's for you. You got something to give that people want, big time, that people need, even if they don't know it. We have the direction. We have what people need. We have the answers to many things. I mean, we may not know all the technical answers to every little thing. Nobody can expect to know, you know, a physics answer to somebody who is trying to solve that kind of a problem. But those aren't the real problems. The real problems are in here. Those are the real problems that cause people to lay at night awake in their bed, to sit and daydream and wonder how they're going to do this, how they're going to make it, if it's even worth it. And those answers you've got. And even if you don't have it at the tip of your, you know, right at your fingertips right then, you don't have to worry about it. The Word tells us that we aren't to worry so much about the words that we have to say. We just have to be available, be led by the Spirit of God. And when we get into the situation and we start speaking in faith, God will give you the words. And we just have to see it, to understand the times, understand where people are. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You. We thank You so much that You are a God who reveals. You're a revealer. You're someone who shares, who gives insight, who gives heavenly wisdom, who gives us Your Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to remind us, to direct us, to comfort us. You give us Your Word to instruct us, to teach us. All these things so that we can understand the times we're going through and others are going through, and that we can be an answer. We can be a light. Help us, Lord. Help us to be that light. Help us to understand these times that we live in. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. We do have coffee and donuts upstairs. Invite you to stick around. Thanks for coming out today. God bless you. Have a great week.